This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for having me on this call, Kyle.
So let's talk about fire season and where things stand for DFPA lands. What's been going on?
As everybody is aware, it's been a pretty busy season throughout the state. Right now, we still have two large fires on the district. It's going to be the Devil's Knob Fire that's in the Tiller area, and we have Milepost 98. That is in the Canyonville area off the Interstate 5. At this time, thanks to the rain and the lower temperatures throughout the area, we have safely dropped our fire restrictions down to moderate. It wasn't high, now we're in that moderate level. And we've decreased that IFPL 3 into IFPL 2. That was effective as of Wednesday. That weather is also helping our firefighters and the teams that are both out on those fires. That's helping put in those control lines and increase containment around the entire perimeter of both of those fires. So we're seeing limited fire activity on both of those fires as well. So it's good news all around for the community.
And obviously, when you get to this point, things kind of slow down a bit. I mean, it's sort of, I don't know what to compare it to. It's like there's a lot of work remaining, and it's just kind of it's the tough work that has to be done to go on through this, even though you don't see any big fire activity right now.
Yeah, the positive for the community is that it's going to emit less smoke. That's a huge impact to everybody. But there's still a lot of work for our crews that are out there. Mop-up is extensive. We have our firefighters that are turning the debris and the ground and attacking that fuels that are on the ground, whether it's fallen trees that can contain heat and they have to break it open and get some water on that and eliminate that heat. Or if they're doing suppression repair and putting in berms and fixing roads and making sure that the roads are fixed to eliminate erosion. It's a lot of extensive work that's not usually really looked at, because at that time when our firefighters are out there, the threat to structures and those evacuation levels drop, which is a positive for the community, but less known operations that take place from everybody else. And as of right now, combined resources for both of those fires is about 1,000 people that are here helping us.
Now, that is an amazing number, and I think that probably would surprise people. There's just so much, as you mentioned, in the mop-up process, and you've got to be so thorough about it so that, when things warm back up again, which I'm sure they will this point in September, that something doesn't reignite.
Exactly, and they want to get that in that containment where we feel secure and safe with returning it back onto the local district. And so that's the plan right now. Utilize all the resources that are here, individuals that have come here from all over different states and throughout the region to help us and prioritize the safety of our individuals that have been impacted by those evacuation levels.
And for the state, it's been a record number of acres burned this year. A lot of note about that. Of course, much of it has been over Northeast Oregon, way far away from us. How are we doing here? Any idea in terms of our acreage levels versus some other years?
This is historic for the state of Oregon this year. I'm in communications with ODF Salem, and they've been putting together those daily situation reports, so that would have more accurate detailed numbers. I don't have them in front of me right now, but I do know that this year has put a lot of strain on everybody throughout the state. All of the ODF incident management teams have been deployed several times to help everybody out. We have our federal teams from the Northwest region that also have been rotating in and out. And we've dropped from a preparedness level throughout the region, and that which includes Washington. We were at a preparedness level 5. We dropped to a preparedness level 4 thanks to the weather that has helped all the firefighters across the state tackling large fires. I believe at the beginning of the week, we had 31 large fires on the state, which means we had 31 teams that needed resources to help on all of those fires. Decreasing in level is a positive thing for the communities that are impacted. And Southern California has now reached preparedness level 5. They're dealing with some very large fires out in that area. And so if we could take the resources off of our fire and reallocate them out there to help those that are now in need, that's what we do. And that's a part of that complete and coordinated system that we're all in part of.
So for local residents, for landowners, what should they remember? People see rain, suddenly they think everything's okay, but you've still got restrictions they need to be aware of.
Correct. We're still in fire season on the district and throughout the state and the region, so please pay attention to what those restrictions are. As I mentioned earlier, we're in moderate fire danger level. Public use restrictions are in place. That means non-industrial power saw usage, cutting, grinding, or welding a metal, cutting, trimming, or mowing dry cured grass, and power-driven machinery for non-industrial improvement is allowed now by 1 p.m. or after 8 p.m. When we were in high, it was before 10 a.m., but decreasing that fire danger level gives you a little bit more time to get out there and cut the grass and stuff like that. As temperatures are decreasing and it's cooling down, I also want to remind everybody, disposing of wood, oven, ash. You're going to be firing up those fireplaces or those wood ovens to warm up your houses through the night, which is allowed because it's in a contained area and it's screened and you're not emitting ashes into the air that could cause fires. But when you're disposing of that wood oven ash, please let that ash cool at least 96 hours before disposing of it and use a metal container. Use a metal ash can or a bucket with a tight-fitting lid to store ashes and keep away from flammables. Keep the container away from anything flammable such as firewood pile, garage, or wood deck, and keep it away from buildings. Keep the container at least 10 feet away from your home and other buildings and dispose properly.
All right. Good advice there, Rachel. Thanks for being on with us today.
Thank you for always making time to provide the public with our safety regulations. I appreciate it.
1246 Inside Douglas County, Part 2. When we come back, we'll talk about the event happening today and tomorrow in Elkton, Part 2, in a moment on Inside Douglas County. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. We will resume the back-to-school series Monday on Inside Douglas County. Martin Tomaselli joining us from Elkton today. Bluegrass and butterflies going on at the Elkton Community Education Center with Elktoons LLC and the ECEC. Martin, thanks for being on. Tell us more about this event. What's going on?
Hey, you bet. It's a beautiful day out here at Elkton. The sun is shining bright. We've got seven bands all total for the week, eight bands all total for the weekend. We're just getting ready, warmed up, and I think things will start off about 3 o'clock with a band on Tuesday called Coos River Ruckus.
And how many years has this been going on?
This is our second year, and it's coming together pretty good. We've got food vendors and beer and wine. We've got Oregon Bluegrass Association is here, and Tom Netchville and his banjos are here. And there will be a circle jam. So join us in Elkton. Come on down.
So it is going on today, and it's going on tomorrow. How late do you go both days?
We'll probably go till around 10 o'clock. Or so tonight, and the same tomorrow. We'll probably get going around 12 o'clock tomorrow because we've got a lot of bands to fit in.
Yeah, I saw a long list of music there, and obviously bluegrass is still really popular. How did the event do last year?
We did great for our first year. All the bands that showed up were just totally blown away at our organization and how we put it together. And then we saw we were so good, we'd do 2 days this year. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, a lot going on into doing an event like this, and you're doing it at the Elkton Community Education Center. That's where the butterfly component comes in.
Yeah, that's where the raise and release monarch butterflies here. We're going to release some of the butterflies this afternoon to start the festival off. And all the funds, all the money that's raised goes to the Elkton Community Education Center's health initiative to help the rural folks have a little better health care out here.
Yeah, I know that's...
I think we raised... Go ahead.
Well, I know that's an issue out there when you have such a rural area that health care is often hard to come by.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we built a facility out here last year for it, and we raised $5,000 to put into the kitty last year, and we're hoping to do the same this year.
So what's your – now, you're on the committee. Your name is not, well-known around the area there for being very busy, very involved in things. You're probably – are you a musician yourself?
No. I ran Tomaselli's Pastry Mill and Cafe in Elkton for 42 years. So I've pretty much been a mainstay in Elkton for 42 years.
And you've
finally sold it in. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you've retired, but now you're still working.
Yep. This music festival, a buddy of mine once told me, you're getting into a lot of stuff. And I thought, well, that's okay. I'm retired. I can do it. It's a lot of work putting one of these festivals together. It takes a lot of people, a lot of components.
Now, are these all groups from around the Northwest, or how far away have some of these folks come from?
We've got folks from Coos Bay, Portland, Eugene. We've got two bands from Canada. And I know I don't have them all covered, but I think a lot of them are based out of Nashville. And I know that's where their booking agents are. So, yeah, we've got the country pretty well covered.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. You mentioned having vendors. Talk about some of the other things people can see out there.
Well, you know, we have a native garden that you can walk through. It's all native Oregon plants. There's the butterflies. We have jewelers and some other health booths. And I think someone's making T-shirts down here. And there's four food vendors. There's wood-fired pizza. And there's a Mediterranean chef out of Springfield. And the bun stuffer out of Rosebud, and dogs out of Eugene. We've got Seven Devils Brewery from Coos Bay, Roseburg.
Wow! So a lot happening,
yeah.
A lot happening there. The Elkton Community Education Center is such a unique facility, and one of the things that I'm impressed by is that it's been around for so long, and so much takes place there. In Elkton, which technically is a population of like 200 people.
Yeah, 250 people in the town. But you got to remember, Elkton's only about a half mile square. So there's quite a few people who live around the area, and it's quite a well-supported facility.
And you've got the music, you've got the vendors this afternoon, and people can come out. You mentioned going around, taking a look at the facility. The butterflies, I'm really fascinated with that emphasis on butterflies out there.
Yeah, I was in the butterfly pavilion yesterday learning about the life of butterflies. It's quite unique. They were gathering the chrysalis and hanging them on the wall, and they were telling me what colors they are when they're getting ready to pop. And then one of the gals grabbed a butterfly, put a little numbered sticker on it, which they do, and then they open the door and release the butterfly. And those butterflies go to the California coast down to the eucalyptus down there, and they'll migrate all that way. It's pretty unique. There's a lot of butterflies put out of here.
And, of course, the ECEC is used for a lot of other events throughout the year, maybe localized things, but also because of your location, you draw in so many people. And if folks from the Roseburg area or central Douglas County head up there, they also find a climate that is very different than what we have here in our area.
Oh, it is very much. That's the one thing I love about Elkton. We're always probably 5 or 10 degrees cooler than Roseburg. And the other nice thing is every night, almost every night of the summer, it cools off to where you're sweating during the day and you're putting a sweater on in the evening because it cools off. That breeze comes up the river and cools us off every night. So, yeah, it's quite a unique area.
And about a half dozen wineries out there that people enjoy as well.
Yeah. We've got some local Pinot Noir with our Bluegrass and Butterflies label on that'll be served tonight. And, they're all well-supported. There's a couple of wine baskets to raffle off, and it's become quite the wine region. Well, they're all busy getting ready to harvest.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the elements for instance, the Pinot Noir varietal, you get a wine that has got a different flair, different taste than one that would come from the Roseburg area.
Yeah, because of our cooler climate. We get that cooler air every night, and it does definitely make a little bit different wine. It's quite unique.
So Elkton
has its own AVA.
Right, and that began a few years ago. Bluegrass and Butterfly is happening today and tomorrow. Now, people need to get tickets for this. How do they do that?
They go on tickettomato.com, and all the info's right there. Look, pull up Bluegrass and Butterflies, and you can get it all.
And you've got to do it that way. You can't just show up and pay at the admission gate, right?
Well, we prefer it that way, but we'll see how that goes. A lot of times people will show up anyway and get tickets here. So we're not going to turn anybody away.
All right. Well, it's happening again through about 10 o'clock tonight, starting at noon tomorrow. Bluegrass and Butterflies at the Elkton Community Education Center, presented by ECEC and Elktoons LLC. And I think that wraps up our time. But thanks for talking with us and letting us know what's going on out there.
Hey, thank you for giving us the time. We appreciate all the help we can get.
All right. All right, you too. 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.